We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. Excited to welcome the program, Caregiver Dave Nassani.
Hey.
Dave, how are you? And you know,
I'm
man,
awesome.
It's July. I wanted to leave. It's been a love-hate July. Computer crashes. I got hacked. I got challenges beyond belief, but also had a great month. It's the weirdest thing in the world to talk about a month. It taught me lessons. It's one of those, but I wanted to go. I'm ready for August. I'm ready for normalcy, hopefully. We'll hope, Dave. But Dave, our guest today is going to talk about, and it's great that this topic, especially with Olympics. Have you been watching the Olympics, Dave?
Yes. Yes, have I you? Have.
I have
I
not.
Have.
I haven't at all. But this is the first year ever. I think sporting events, it's hard for me to watch sports since COVID. But go ahead and introduce our guest.
Dichi is an 18-year-old teenage multicultural musician inspired by boxing to pursue his dream and lending his talents to raise awareness for the need for funding for local USA boxing clubs nationwide. Welcome to the show, Dichi.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you giving me this platform to talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
No problem.
So, Dichi, you were from the beginning, you wanted to be a musician, right? Growing up, especially now at this point in time, right? That as an artist, that's a very important thing to you.
Definitely. It was when I was a kid, I always did music. I enjoyed it. It wasn't my dream. It wasn't the goal. But when I was in high school, around sophomore year, I thought I didn't want to go to college because school is tough for me. I was a good. But I didn't enjoy it. So I felt I wanted to not go to college. And music was one of those things that was able to open up that door because there was something that I'd always done that I enjoyed enough to the point where I could pursue as a career. And that was a career where I didn't need to go to college.
Good, dude.
And you found that you were gifted.
I guess.
Where did your love of boxing come from?
So I first started tuning into fighting when I was about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, now 2017. I started tuning into UFC during the Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor era. And that kind of got me interested into martial arts and fighting, whether that's boxing or jiu-jitsu. Uh-huh. And I was severely out of shape in freshman year. I was like on the verge of obesity.
Wow.
Kind of exercise turned that around, and over COVID all the gyms were closed. It was tough to like do like any workout besides like working out at your house. Sure. So in November I started working out again, and at the gym that I'm at, I met this guy Julio, who's like a boxing instructor. And he kind of, I took one of his classes and I just fell in love, because I'd always been watching fighting, but I'd never participated in actual training.
Sure.
But when I first After that first class for boxing, I just fell in love with the sport. And I just felt I wanted to do everything I can to support everyone that boxes, because I know how tough it is. And I know the discipline that is involved in boxing now after I've participated.
Wow.
So it means a lot to me, especially last weekend. I went to Atlanta and I went to a gym for the charity event that we're doing. And then it really like hit a special place in my heart. I didn't realize how much it meant to me until we did the first charity event.
Exactly. We'll talk about that in a second. I wanted to bring up boxing. Dave, never told you this. I did a fixed boxing match in a tough, like where I was supposed to fight somebody for the championship. And it was like, it was a regular boxing match, but the promoter knew it was fixed. So talk about fixing boxing. We're talking about that before DC. I'm a former pro wrestler. I had to fight someone boxing where we didn't pull punches, 440 pounds. Mm-hmm. He was considered one of the toughest men in West Virginia. So I would go out there and we'd fight. And he says, you're pulling the punches, hit me harder. Like, oh my goodness. And then I had to take the dive at the end of the fight. But what it was interesting.
You could have been a contender.
I could have been a contender. Exactly. So I never put that in my resume, former boxer, but hey, you know what, whatever. But he was, you know, hitting punches. And then finally, when I had to be knocked out, I basically took the dive, but it was like, and say, oh, he knocked out the 7-footer boxer, you know, but what the sport does and brings is it's something that not everyone does, Dichi. That's the big thing, I think, that brings these larger-than-life characters and we talk about boxing, professional wrestling, MMA. It's something that you just don't see the average person do. And I think that excites people. And also it's something that really gives them purpose, right?
Definitely. And boxing is a sport where the amount of discipline that you need, there's been studies shown that participating in sports can lower crime rates, can lower your chance of delinquency. Like they call it delinquency rates. So being like participating in out of school activities such as boxing has a real positive impact. So by being able to do this charity and donate to these places, it'll help the communities around, because there's 1,700 boxing facilities. There used to be around 2,000, but 300 had to close during COVID.
Wow.
And these 1,700 boxing facilities have such a positive impact in their surrounding communities. And that's just the effect that boxing has on people. Like David Goggins once said, he said, be an uncommon man. And that's why so many people are starting to box, because if you can box, I feel like that already puts you as an uncommon man. That's already something that you have that's like personal to you. It's not, no one else can do what you do. Everyone boxes differently. If you like know what I mean. I mean,
yeah. And it gives you confidence too, that no bully's going to pick it on you or whatever. You can protect your girlfriend.
So I'm surprised, Dave, you never boxed. Never did any boxing. How about workout? Did you ever do a boxing workout?
I'd never done a boxing workout. I played lacrosse. My life, I played lacrosse, football, soccer, and I also did weightlifting in high school. But I never stepped in a ring.
And so
is that something you want to do one day?
It really would depend on
your parents.
I mean, my parents would probably let me. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. They let you do the music route, so they at least gave you.
Yeah. All right, so they have not had this discussion yet. Okay.
Yeah, but mainly it would probably be it would be depending on what it's for, how like.
Or if you take a dive or whatever.
Yeah.
Huh. That's wrestling.
Only Neil does that.
Only I do that.
Marlon Brando.
So anyone that pays me, I'll take a dive. All right. So let's get back to DC. When we talk about specifically the event, tell us about the charity event. So everything that happened and some of the experience of last week. Yeah.
So the charity event was on Saturday. And what it was they're doing silver gloves boxing. It was a tournament that if you won that tournament, you would advance to the regional tournament, and then you would keep on advancing until you're at the national scale. So they were hosting that event at the gym that we were doing the charity event with. They were USA Boxing Gym, Lugo's Boxing. And we went there on Friday, the day before. And we didn't even know, but there was an NBC reporter that came. I did a quick interview with him. And we were kind of just going through on Friday what we were going to do and just the run through of the event. And on Saturday for the actual event, we had a guy from NPR come down and I did a quick interview with him. He also interviewed Lugo, who was the owner of the gym. And then also a guy from Getty Images came and took pictures of everything. And it was great. It was so much unexpected stuff ended up happening. And the people there were just such good people. I'd never been to a real like gritty boxing gym, because it was a very like gritty, hardworking, like blue collar gym, if that makes sense. And I had never been in that environment. And after going to that environment, everyone was so welcoming. Everyone was so nice. And it really, like, that's why I said, like, after doing that first event, it like really hit like a special place in my heart. Listen, I want to do this. I want to keep on doing this.
So you're getting a lot of recognition for donating all that money to keep these boxing clubs open that were closed from COVID.
Yeah.
Are they permanently closed or are they just temporarily closed? Those 300?
There's 300 gyms that were permanently closed.
Oh my gosh.
And you can only imagine the effect that would have on the community. Because when I went to the gym in Atlanta, there was probably 40, 50, 60 boxers that showed up just to that event. Not everyone was fighting, but that's 40 or 50 boxers that showed up to that gym to watch the event or partake in the event.
Wow. Maybe you can do a charity event to get those 300 clubs back open.
Yeah, for sure. That's like, that would be most likely in the future, because we still have the 1,700 gyms. But, you know, it's it's really important. Like the change that they can have if done properly, it's the change can be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. You're getting all the PR that you feel that you need, or is never enough?
Never enough for PR. I mean, you could have tons and tons of PR, but it's never enough until every person on earth hears it. I mean,
exactly. And then, so you also did a song for this. So you put your music into this whole process as well. So tell us a little about that, how you connected music to the boxing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, I'd say, I read a book called The Book of Five Rings by a guy named Miyamoto Musashi. And that guy was a Japanese samurai / shogun. And then the whole book was about, it was a martial arts text, but it shows hard work. The main idea of the book is sticking to your craft and keeping the grind. That's the main idea of the book. That's what I took from it. So I read that book and I applied it to music years later, as in the song Five Rings. And the song is about like hard work, dedication that it takes for music. When I did that music video, when we were thinking of what we were going to do for the music video, we decided to shoot it boxing because at the time I had just started boxing and it was something I was very dedicated to and very passionate about. So we decided to shoot the video at the gym that I worked out at. And that one thing led to another and opportunities started to show. And then we decided to work with USA Boxing because I didn't know how tough it was until we talked to USA Boxing and did this whole, we started doing this charity events, like these charity events. And that, it helped. Like it definitely went from one thing to another. It started from a book, then the song, then the boxing, and now USA Boxing.
Gotcha. So that's a great story. And the song, tell us about the song.
What genre is it?
It's weird. Like I call my music urban pop because it doesn't fit to an exact genre. I'd call it more hip hop / melodic rap because there's a lot of different aspects in the music that I make. That's why I just call my music urban pop, just because I grew up in an urban environment and I try to make popular music. But for Five Rings, I'd say it's more melodic hip-hop, a bit of R&B, a bit of rap.
Okay.
Wow, you might just have a new genre in your name.
Yeah, y'all created all from that. And so that's the thing. You're connecting all those things, your music and everything. What has been the feedback so far from the help you've had? So especially, I guess, the media feedback. What about the people you're helping? What have you been hearing on
it's
that?
It's been extremely positive. When I was in Atlanta, one of the girls that worked at the gym. She used to work at a gym down the street and then she moved to this gym. She was talking about how she feels like the gym was such like a family environment. And then she was an ex-veteran. She used to be a drug addict, and then boxing and working out really, really saved her in a way. And it was like, I had like a short talk with her and it was just, that one short talk was amazing because it really showed how it showed that what I'm doing is really helping. And to have her come up to me and say, listen, I was an ex-vet, I'm an ex-drug, I've done it all. And really everything that you're doing for us right now really means the world to me. And that really was amazing for her to come up to me and say that.
Wow. And you have a counseling and a mentoring gift as well. Good for you.
That's great. He, for his age, Dave, he's
changing the world one person at a time.
Wish we were. What were we doing, Dave, at 18? We weren't changing the world. I was busy going to college. And what were you doing at 18, Dave?
I was going to college, got married at 21, had a kid at 25.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So you're a little lower. I had a kid at, let me see here. I got married at 25, a kid at 29. Now I have six, but yeah. So there goes the, I caught up from that end, Dave, but wow.
Any girlfriends?
I feel it would be tough
distracting
for me to have a girlfriend and be able to spend time with her. I didn't want to start dating someone and then be like, oh, I have work, we can't hang out today. Because a lot of stuff it's day by day. I pretty much live day by day. Every day changes.
You're always running it. Always running the next thing.
I'm sure you get I'm sure you get many offers though, right?
We got some offers.
No, but see, the thing, he's smart as on the road. So even though COVID, now you're back traveling some too with your music. Are you doing some traveling, a lot of traveling?
Mm-hmm. No, we're doing traveling mainly for the USA Boxing right now.
Oh, so you're going to be going from one place to the next place to the next place. So explain where you're going to be going in the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
So we just went to Atlanta and we got back last Sunday. And then in the next couple of weeks, we're organizing a tour around Florida right now. So we're going to be visiting, I mean, now I'm in Miami. So we're going to be visiting a lot of the USA Boxing gyms in Miami. Then we're going to go to Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, a lot of the major cities, and doing similar charity events that we did in Atlanta.
That's just great.
Is anybody out there doing what you're doing? You're like one of a kind.
Thank you. Yeah, I try my best.
So let's get the spotlight on your music. Now, music was the first thing. This has come out of nowhere, right? So now you're like, what is the brand? Define DeeChee's brand now. What is it? So you know what I mean? Because now you've added this other charitable component that when I was first introduced to you by your publicist, it was just the music. Now it's much more. What do you say? What do you think your brand is? Because Dave and I talk branding all the time. Dave, we've really not mentioned has been on how many TV shows, local TV shows?
Just did my 50th 2 days ago, 50 TV shows. 50
local TV shows. I have had 7,000 plus interviews on my network, and I have a 5 million listener viewers per week on my network. I have interviewed major celebrities. So we all know how we're defining our brand. Clubhouse is another part of my brand now, being on social audio all the time, killing it, and speaking in front of hundreds of people all the time on that. You define your brand now, because first you were just thinking the music. Now you've added that charitable component. Tell me.
No, I think my brand is just constantly evolving. I feel like we can be, right now, it started as music. My brand mainly at first was just music. Now it's music and boxing and charity. Then in the future, one of my long-term goals is to do clothing. So then we could add that aspect later in the future. So I think it's mainly just being able to, it's just constantly evolving and always having a positive impact. I think it's one thing to only do music, but what's the point of success if you can't help other people become successful as well? Because you could have everything in the world, but exactly, what are you doing for other people?
Yeah, you're an entrepreneur also.
Oh yeah, in the end, it's like we're all a community. Whether it's like, no matter what it is, we all live on earth together, we're all a community. So if I'm successful, what can I do to help someone else? So mainly, I think the best way to describe my brand would just be positivity, like having a positive impact.
See, I love that. I love that about you and your energy at 18. Like I said, at 18, I'm trying to remember, I was just focused on playing college basketball at McDaniel College, graduated high school in 1991, I think I was 18 years old, went on to play at Western Maryland, then went up to go transfer schools and became a professional wrestler, hit the pro wrestling circuit. So a lot of ways I've learned in branding through just trial and error. It seems like you've studied this. You're learning this firsthand and then smart. I like the idea of you not having a girlfriend, but you'll find somebody who will be willing to travel with you. You'll find somebody who's going to be that one that believes in you and understands this is what your life is. And I think a lot of people, when we choose not to go what we truly love, it comes back to haunt us later on in life. And So keep it going. I'm so impressed by you. And Dave, so I just kind of wanted to jump onto that point of view. But for your fans out there, like for the music, so you're doing all the different stuff. Are you going to be performing as well when you do these events? Are you performing, or you have other plans for performing as well as a musician?
So at the events, it really depends, but at the events, most likely I won't be performing. It'd mainly just be a charity event. We'd be there just to oversee and watch and be involved and donate. So performances, we'll see in the future. Right now, I have an audience, but my audience isn't big enough to do big performances. And we'll really see in the future. It's really dependent. Also, especially now with COVID, Delta.
Why don't you do a music video that you've already have? Just show that. That would be a great addition to your charity event.
And definitely. No, we just finished up another music video. We did a reshoot yesterday, actually.
That's going to be cool. So what do you think of you as a producer? Are you behind the scenes in the video, or you have the expert looking at it, or are you still looking at it? How do you define that music video? Think about the days of, you know, MTV, Yo MTV Raps, and how music first, it was the DJ and MTV, if your history as a musician, and now seeing where videos are shooting now, and they're all YouTube, or, you know, or specifically other platforms to check out videos on Facebook and things like that. Where do you see, when you shoot a music video, how much is your creativity involved versus who you've hired to help shoot it?
Yeah, so it's a joint effort between me and Brian Barrell. Brian Barrell's the my director, but we kind of both direct the video. Like, he gives his input, I give my input, and we kind of work together to find an agreement and things that can work, things that can't work. And I kind of co-directed, I guess. All my videos I co-direct, because Brian Barrell, he gives me an idea, I build off of that idea, or I give him an idea, he builds off of that idea. So it's really a joint effort in directing. Yeah. And I'm happy to be able to work with a great director such as Brian.
Awesome.
We've shot 8 videos now, I think.
That's awesome. And that's fun. I love that component. I want to do more of my business. I've created and produced 2 video commercials, one for a photographic memory business and also for a former company I was with, Lensec. So I have been in that behind the scenes. I produced TV shows before. It's fun in that process because you see the creativity and development of where it goes. I love brands, but I also like to put together things, looking at how websites are built. I can't build a website, but I sure as heck can come up with ideas how to design it. It's so important, the creatives. We're all creatives on this program right now. Dave is a true creative. And if you talked about what we talked about on our show a couple of weeks ago, he talked about how he's a celebrity entrepreneur and how you too are a celebrity, but also a celebrity entrepreneur yourself. How many 18-year-olds are out there in music that are creating other things? When I have a clothing line, all those different things, people would dream for that. So Dave, you're going to go to your caregiver question, because I'm going to close it out with that. But that's why we call him Caregiver Dave Nassani. Go ahead, Dave, and tell us why.
Yeah, well, it's a strange question for someone as young as you, but my wife had a stroke 21 years ago. She reinvented herself, went through the grief process, decided if she's alive, there must be a reason. God has her here. And so I've been ministering to people who take care of sick people and people with disease, people who are dying, and, you know, grandparents, parents, people who are old, or people who have cancer, etc. And 30% of these people who care for people actually die before their loved ones do, because they are so internalized in what they do that they just give and give and give, and there's nothing left to give. And, you know, they need to learn to put their own oxygen mask on first. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, I know you probably haven't thought about it, but maybe you've seen other caregivers, maybe in your family, maybe your grandparents, maybe your parents. What kind of experience or exposure have you had to caregiving?
No, yeah. So my grandfather and grandmother right now are like their health has deteriorated over the past couple of years. Like yesterday, or the day before, my grandfather was diagnosed with cancer.
I'm sorry.
That was like tough. So they live in Japan, my grandparents. So for caregiving, every year I'd go to Japan. Like, for the past decade, probably my grandparents have been getting like worse and worse and worse in terms of their health. And then for the past decade, every summer I'd go to Japan for a couple months, and I'd live with them. I'd take care of them.
Good for you.
I don't know. I feel like my cousins weren't there as much as I was for my grandparents. And every summer I'd go to take care of my grandparents, whether that's go get groceries for them, live with them, eat anything, cook for them, anything. And then a couple of days ago, my grandfather was diagnosed with cancer, which is like, because he has like a tumor in his esophagus.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 88 now. Mm-hmm. So he's on his way out, and it's tough to deal with, because right now it's tough to get into Japan. So I can't, like, if I could, I'd fly tomorrow.
Yeah. Who cares for him when you're not around?
My grandma was taking care of him, but my grandma.
How's she doing?
She had open heart surgery.
Oh my gosh. Caregiver needs a caregiver, right?
Yeah. So then my grandfather now, because he was just diagnosed with cancer, he's in the hospital right now. So my grandma's living alone.
Oh,
and then she had open heart surgery a couple months ago. So it's even tough for her to live by herself. So right now there's no one. There's no one to take care of her.
Oh my God.
You're not able to go into the country, right? Because of COVID, correct?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
And the government doesn't have any programs to bring help in?
There's programs that she uses, like she has people bring food to her house so she doesn't have to go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, but still, it's still a tough situation, I think, for her. Despite, even with all the government care, it's just a tough situation. Yeah.
And I'm sure it weighs on your heart. So add caregiver to your resume, because that's what you are.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? See, Dave, you never know. See, you never know our guests. So where can we find info? Where's the best place we can go and find out about the charity stuff, but also your music?
Yeah, so on dicimusic.com, dicimusic.com, it'll show you all my social medias, whether that's YouTube, Instagram, everything. And then also on there, you'll find the link for Bandcamp, which is the link for the charity where you can buy 5 rings and all the proceeds go to USA Boxing. And you can also find all the articles, everything on dicimusic.com, dicimusic.com.
Again, I'm impressed by this guy, Dave.
Me too.
He's definitely is going to be an up-and-comer. Talking to him about all branding and conversations, we could have a blast just talking about how to create a brand, develop a brand, understand a brand. And he's learning and he's educating himself. And I don't know, I was educating myself in college at 18. So there you go. Great job, man. Keep it up. And it's, you're living the life. You keep it going. And appreciate you coming on Neil Haley Show. So thanks again.
Love you.
Great talking.
Right. Take care, guys. All right. Appreciate it. That was the Neil Haley Show. Take care, guys.